Hebrews 4, verse number 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus is our high priest. You know, the Old Testament high priest was a type of the Lord. And he said, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched. I take the knots out. We have a high priest who can be and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word touched with the feeling of, really in the Greek means, it's the word translated all through the Old Testament, or, excuse me, the New Testament, mercy or compassion. So we have a high priest who's merciful. He's very compassionate. Either way, it's the same Greek word translated mercy and compassion. So we're talking about the compassion of God. This is going to be a big part of this era. If the Spirit of Faith Family Church is going to see more and more of the miraculous, it's going to be because of compassion. Us yielding to compassion and flowing with compassion. As we go, maybe, I don't think we're going to get to it tonight, but we'll get to the show how we can yield to this and respond to compassion more. So stay tuned. Praise the Lord. But here in this verse, it tells us about the heart of Jesus. Now, the Bible said, Jesus said this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Amen. And God is a very merciful God. In fact, you can go over to Psalm 145. I was looking at this today. One of my favorite Old Testament passages, Psalm 145, verse 8. It says in verse 8 and 9, if you're writing down the text, verse 8 and 9 of Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Full of compassion. Slow to anger. How many of you know he can get angry? But aren't you glad he's slow? Slow to anger and of great mercy. Well, that tells us if we're fast or quick or hasty to anger, then we need some development to be more like, to develop the fruit of the Spirit, you know. So be slow to, he's slow to anger and of great mercy. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. He's been merciful to me, I can tell you that. I know you know everything good about me, but you don't know all the stuff that's under the blood. He's been merciful to me. Y'all know what you're talking. I'm talking about because you know you know you, and you know. Hopefully, you got over it yourself, but you know he's been merciful. So of great mercy, the Lord is good to the good people. Some of you wouldn't even. I'd probably go right on. Some of you wouldn't even know if I'm telling the truth. The Lord is good to.
All.
Is all. You know, the fact that sinners are walking out there breathing, it's the mercy of God. Just, I mean and ugly and vile and unclean and spewing out hate and hitting people and cheating and stealing and uncleanness and sleeping with somebody's wife and they're still breathing and they still can't bounce a baby on their knee and enjoy it. They still can get some pleasures out of this life. That's God being good to them. You ever read the Bible? That's a good thing to read. I'm looking for the reference. I got it here somewhere. But anyway, I think it's Matthew 5. I don't know the exact verses. It talks about Jesus said, be ye merciful and forgive and pray for people that do you wrong and so forth. And he said, because your Father is merciful and he reigns on the just and on the unjust. You know? The farmers that are wicked, they get rain on their fields just like the farmers who are living right. You know, this earth is the only heaven they're going to know. Compared to what's coming, it's heaven down here. But the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. And his tender mercies are over how many? All of his works. All his works. Tender mercies over all his works. Well, all means all. Everything he created, he's got mercy over it. There's mercy over it. But I mean, specifically, we could claim this double because we were created. Our physical bodies were created. We were created physically by God. But the Bible said, you ever read the Bible? There's another, like, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. When he's not talking about whenever we were born as babies, you know, became a person in the womb, you know. He's not talking about that. We are his workmanship. And then he said, created, actually the Greek says recreated in Christ Jesus. Recreated. We're created. He's talking about the new creation. And that new creation is his workmanship. It's certainly not ours. It's his. It's his workmanship. In other words, it's his work. The new man is his work. He has made the new man, the new nature that we have. That came from him. And so that being the case, his tender mercies are over all his works. We could claim that double. Because the fact that we were born, he made us, and the fact, I'm talking about out of our mother's womb, but the fact that we were born again and have this new nature, then we got a double.
That's really
good. We're a double work.
That's a double work. Amen.
So do we get double mercies?
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, his tender mercies are over all his works. Praise the Lord. I like that. Tell your neighbor, that's good for you. You're one of God's works in Christ, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, the word gracious here, the Lord is gracious, it said in the Hebrew in Psalm 145 here. It means disposed or inclined to show favors. Disposed or inclined to show favors. In other words, this is God's disposition. This is his character. We talk about believing God and trusting God, but you can't trust someone you don't know or that you think's got, that every time you come, he's just got a fly swatter behind his back. And, you know, well, I want to remind you, you know, of everything you did. No, no, the Lord's merciful.
Yes.
That's his character. We've got to know his nature really more than we've got to know what he does. We have to know his character. Because faith is not based on what he does, knowing what he does. It's based on his nature. Knowing his nature. Knowing his will, really. His will is not connected to his ability. His will is connected to his nature. I might have the ability to pay somebody's rent, but if I'm as mean as a snake, and my nature is not to be that way, to be kind and to help somebody financially, well, it doesn't matter what I could do. You know, and you don't have any confidence in me if you know me and I'm mean as a snake but you know, I'm just loaded to the gills financially. You know what I mean? We used to say that when we were kids. You know what I mean? But anybody know what loaded to the gills means? That means you got it coming out holes, you know. If you know I could, but you know I'm as mean as a snake, you wouldn't even have any confidence to come and ask or anything, would you? I mean, that's just it. So the same thing true with God. You have to know his character. And here's his character. This is his disposition. This is his character. He's inclined to be gracious. He's inclined to be full of compassion. Did you read it? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That's his character. And he's inclined to be slow to anger and of great mercy. Amen. The word compassion means to show pity or tender mercies. The Lord is compassionate, and pity means, I'm so sorry for you. Pity means he wants to do something to help. That's what it means. And notice the word tender mercies. The definition means to pity and to show tender mercy. That's a characteristic of God. He's tender with his mercy. Hallelujah. Or actually, let's say it like the Bible says it there in verse 10. Look at it again. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Mercies is plural. Mercies is plural. You can just write this down. Psalm 106:7. Talks about, in Psalm 106:7, the multitude of thy mercies. In other words, God is not the God of mercy. He's the God of mercies. In fact, the New Testament calls him that. You can just write this reference down, 2 Corinthians 1:3. Calls him the Father of mercies. 2 Corinthians 1:3. The Father of mercies. Notice, plural. And in Psalm 145, plural. Psalm 106, plural. And there's other ones. We're not bringing them all out. But I just wanted you to see he's the Father of mercies, plural. Well, guess what? If he would only if all he does is forgives, and that's the end of his mercy, then he's the Father of mercy. Singular. But if his mercies can apply to other and do apply to other areas of our lives, then he's the Father or the God of mercies. Plural. And he won't just do it once, he'll do it over and over and over again. Oh, mercies. Say sees, me sees. I like mercies. 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 Well, we know what his mercies are. We know from Jesus' ministry. We looked at some of them on Sunday. Many, many times people came for healing saying, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, asking for healing. And he healed them, showing that healing is a mercy. So mercies includes forgiveness. Thank God we have the mercy. I've needed that one. There's been times I've almost crawled under the bed and said, God, be merciful. That was terrible the way I acted. You know what I'm talking about. And he's always tender with it. But there's sometimes we get ourselves in trouble in other areas, and there's not just mercy for forgiveness, but there's mercy for healing our physical bodies. That's another area of mercy. We looked at how Jesus a couple of places, Matthew 9:36, he was moved with compassion because they were scattered abroad as sheep, not having a shepherd, remember? And so what he's saying is, it's his mercy that moves him to raise up people to teach us, to help us, to learn about him and so forth and so on. It's a flow of his mercies. Go to this passage in Hebrews 5, I believe, or is it Hebrews 2? Let me check here. I have to pull this up. Let's see. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 2. Look at this. Hebrews 5, verse number 2. Tell your neighbor, I'm so thankful that God has been merciful to us. You realize that he has. It's his mercies, the Bible said, that we're not consumed. It's his mercies that somebody said, well, I guess I'm just going to get what I deserve. You can call for mercy.
Amen.
You can call for mercy. What do you plead, guilty or innocent? Mercy. 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 You're basically saying, I did it, but I plead mercy. Guess what? If you want it, it'd be a good time to sow it right now. Let me say this, because there's going to come a time you need it. And if you need it, sow it. And we'll get into that maybe as we go too. But have you found Hebrews 5? We'll read in verse number 2. Well, let's start in verse number 1. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, here he's talking about the high priest in the Old Testament. Notice, taken from among men. He's not talking about Jesus in this verse. But these high priests were a type of Jesus, and we'll see that. Let's keep on reading. So here he's talking about a high priest taken from among men, who's just a man, you understand. Verse number 2, who can have compassion, underline compassion, see, that's what we're talking about. That's another word for mercy, on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So, you know, he's saying a man can have compassion on somebody else because he knows what it's like to have fallen or missed it or made mistakes or sinned and just messed up and said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing, or you understand? And then he goes down and he talks about that for two more verses. Then in verse 5, so also Christ. So also Christ. What's he talking about? Just like men have mercy on other men because they're men and they understand the temptations of the flesh or the infirmities. You know, you can have an infirmity and just have a flair for showmanship or something. There's, infirmities is not just sins, but just it can be. But I'm talking about it's not just that. It's just you know, character flaws and, you know, just maybe here's one. Just an inclination to always get down on yourself. You know what I mean? That's an infirmity. And so there's more to that than we have time to get into tonight. But also sin and things. But what he's talking about here, men can have compassion on others because they're in the flesh. They know those things. And Jesus was here too in the flesh. He was here too in the flesh. You can see that in Hebrews 2 where we were Sunday, I believe. Hebrews 4 talks about it. Hebrews other places where Jesus, he can have a merciful, he can be a merciful and faithful high priest because he took on flesh himself. And he suffered. Hebrews 2 talks about how he suffered in the flesh. He had to resist the temptations of the flesh. He did not sin because he didn't have the ability to. It's just that he never yielded. So, but he knows what it's like to be tempted. Now, I want you to notice back there, though, there's more in verse 2. Who can have compassion not just on them who are out of the way, meaning got out of the ways of God and got into sin. But notice the first thing he said. He can have compassion on the what? On the ignorant. Oh, how much time you got tonight? Compassion on the ignorant. What is that all about? Well, without going into a deep theological, hermeneutical study or all those big words I can't even pronounce, but let me just say that the Bible very clearly, in a couple of places, I'll give you a couple of references. Leviticus 4, just write this down. Leviticus 4, verses 2, 22, and 27. Leviticus 4, 2, 22, and 27. Also in Numbers 15, 28. Those verses, Numbers 15, 28, those verses talk about the fact that there are sins of ignorance. And that's even under the law. Sins of ignorance, where somebody did something they didn't even know was wrong. You know, the Bible actually refers to that in the New Testament. 1 John says, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. Is that all right? 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Walk in the light. What is that? Walk in the light. That means all the light we have. Anybody have all light yet? No, none of us have all light yet. But we were endeavoring to walk in the light we have. We have a little light about the love walk. We have a little light about, you know, walking in forgiveness. We have a little light about being merciful and so forth. Whatever degree of light we have, then and we're walking in that, what happens to us concerning the light that we don't have yet, and therefore because we don't have it, we do not yet walk in it? You know that's true about all of us? Maybe we were even taught, but we didn't get it. I said we. I'm not talking, I didn't say you, I said we. We heard it, but we didn't get it. How many of you know we all have to hear it over and over again? You know what God's like in situations like that? He's merciful. He's merciful until we get it. Okay, let's bring this around again. You know, that's what he does. Okay. I'm gonna prompt, you know, somebody to say it again to him. They're gonna get this. Aren't you glad he didn't the first time? The first time we heard the word along a line and we walked out and went kaboo spiritually like a klutzo and didn't even get it, and we're not doing it. Aren't you glad he doesn't get out his big fly swatter and say, "That's it, you failure, you smack," and you become a greasy spot on the sidewalk? Aren't you glad? that he's not that way. He could be, but he's not. So therefore, we're all alive. And enjoying some blessings tonight. There's light we're not walking in. Obviously, all of us, obviously. What's God think about all that that you're not walking in? You ever read, well, he covers that with his mercy. That's what that's talking about. You remember James 4:17? Maybe not, you don't remember, but you'll remember what it says when I quote it. James 4:17, it says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." Why would he say such a thing if there's not a different kind? Where you just don't know. He's talking about one category here where you just know what you ought to be doing, and you're just saying, no. No, I'm not going to do it.
Come on.
That's sin. Yes, telling us that there's another category where it's wrong for us to be doing what we're doing, but we just don't know.
Come on.
You know, you can hear preaching and not know. Because it has to be revelation knowledge, not just head knowledge. Well, what about that space of time between we heard it, but we haven't got it yet? There's mercy. You see what he's saying? Men can be compassionate, here in Hebrews 5:2, men can be compassionate on those who are ignorant and therefore sin. So verse 5 says, so also Christ. In other words, the Lord, in fact, this is what the age, you ever heard of the term age of accountability? It's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. When I was a kid, I got mad and, you know, fought my sister and all that, but I didn't realize. You ever read in Numbers 14? It talks about, I'll give you some references here. I know you're all wanting to look it up. But Numbers 14, it says in verses 28 through 32, that whenever Israel rebelled at Kadesh Barnea, he said they were all going to die in the wilderness except those that are, really, he said 19 and over were going to die in the wilderness. I mean, excuse me, 20 and over were going to die. So I guess he meant 19 and down were, they were going to live and they themselves would go in. Why did God set a minimum age limit? Huh? Because they're still drying off behind the ears spiritually. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And they just quite haven't got to the place yet where he's holding them accountable because they just don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. Isn't that a thought? Now, that age is different for every person. But in that case, God had to say, I'm going to set it here. But some children grow up or mature quicker than others. You need to know that about your children, raising your children. But what are we saying about all these verses? All these things. We just went over some things quickly. But what we're saying is when you're sincere and honest, but you sincerely don't know and honestly don't know that something is wrong, and we're walking in all the light we have, mercy covers us until we come up to the light. In other words, the blood takes care of those things. Aren't you glad? Because it's true about whether we want to. You ever looked back after a few years of growth and looked at yourself back there and went, oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus, you were so merciful. Is it possible that in the years to come we might look back on today and go, oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's very possible. In fact, it will happen. Amen. Yeah. We've all come to more light and then finally, you know, just take what we were sharing in the offering, seeking first the kingdom of God. We all come more and more into the light of that and realize, oh, my, no wonder I've been struggling. Because God, the Spirit of God will highlight something. We heard it. But when it came to this area of our life, we just either blocked it out or went, duh, or went, yeah, everybody else needs to hear that, or, you know. But he brings, the Holy Ghost brings it home to us, and we go, oh, oh, Jesus, oh, ah, oh, forgive me. But he was blessing us in a measure. Do you hear that term? In a measure. He was blessing us in a measure until we got it. And then he said, okay, I'll take you on now. I mean, unless we just rebel. You realize people can rebel, but I'm not preaching to a crowd that's interested in that. Oh, I thought I'd get a lot of good amens on that. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. It's his mercy to send people to teach us. Don't forsake your mercies. Don't forsake. Remember Jonah said that those that forsake their mercies, or those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. God's mercy is extended to all of us, but we've got to not forsake it. Isn't that an interesting thought? Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Tell your neighbor, I'm learning something tonight. Learning something tonight. And so he sends people to teach us. All of us. You might think I'm talking about myself. I'm not. I'm talking about all of us. He sends people into the body of Christ. Sends messengers with things he wants us to understand. And raises up voices in the body of Christ. So that we can, because he's merciful. And he doesn't want to watch us flounder, keeping doors open to the devil, even ignorantly. You understand? And so he sends the message to get us to close those doors. Why? Because he's merciful. And he's trying to hold some things off of us, and he is holding things off of us until we can get the message. Now listen, there comes a time in all of our lives where we got it, and we should be walking in it, and we're not, and then that limits God. That's a different thing. But I'll tell you this. Let me just say it this way. You remember in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 5:5. In fact, go over there. I didn't know I was going to get it. I thought we were going to come in a different way, but we're coming into it this way tonight. All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 5. This is the man that wanted to live in open sin. You remember verses 1 through 4 talk about it. He mentioned Paul, the reported comment, there's fornication among you. There was a man just wanted to live with, most people agree, there's probably just wanted to live with his mother-in-law and, you know, out of wedlock, have sex and just live in sin and just live openly like this is okay. Corinth was a very sensual city, very, very carnal. You can see that in a lot of different things Paul said. But the Bible talks about there was nobody dealing with this situation in that church there. I guess the pastor wasn't or something. Here's what Paul eventually got to in verse number 5. Let's go to verse 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved into the day of the Lord Jesus. People read that and they go, wait a minute. And this is something grace preachers don't hear. They don't talk about this today. The destruction of the flesh? No, we're all under grace. Well, you thought. We are, but you're not. You know what I'm talking about. I could get into that more, but okay, I'll get into it. How about we get into it? Romans 6 says, I don't remember the verse. I wasn't planning on going this direction, but it talks about in Romans 6 there that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. People say, that's right. We're under grace. Then they want to go out and live any way they want, just live like the devil, and say, we're under grace. That verse says they're not under grace. Because sin has dominion over them, so they're not under grace. Oh, wait. If they were under grace, sin wouldn't have dominion over them.
See,
they think grace just means you can do anything you want. No, grace means you got the power to stop doing everything your flesh wants. Stop doing everything your flesh wants. Amen. So people that say, I'm under grace, I can live however I want. You're not under grace. You're not yielding to the power to stop sin. The Bible said, don't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. All right. So, but anyway, I want you to see here, people read this and they go, well, I'm going to pass over that. I don't understand. I don't like that. Well, notice somebody said, that's judgment. That's judgment. Well, in one sense, yeah, but really, read it closely. Look at your Bible, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That means he's going to die prematurely. Why did God say do this? There's a reason he said to do it. Why? What's it say next? That his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What's that? That he make heaven. What's that? Mercy. 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 Because if he keeps going the way he's going, he's going to split hell wide open. That's what this verse is saying. I know people, they say, oh, now wait a minute. What about this verse? What about that verse? I know, but what about this verse?
Yes, sir.
Yep. That his spirit, there, he was in danger of missing heaven.
Yep. Yep. Come on.
Yep. That's good.
Amen. So the fact that he died prematurely before he got to that place spiritually where he would miss heaven is mercy. It's mercy. Tell your neighbor that's mercy. Hallelujah. Now, even in the judgment, even in judgment, there's mercy. Hallelujah. We're going to see God do some things for some folk that's going to boggle our religious brains. But we better get ready for it. We wrote them off. We said, forget it. God said, I'm going to show them some mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Hagin tells a story, and I got a similar story, but maybe I'll tell both of them. How's that? He said he was in Colorado preaching one time, and he said later after the meeting, well, actually, he was in the healing line after he was done preaching, and he was laying hands on the people. People falling out under the power. And he said, while he was doing that, he looked up and he said, the glory cloud in the back rolled in. He said he saw it rolling in. It was coming from the back of the auditorium to the front. And he knew it was going to happen as soon as it got to the front. So he backed up, stepped up on the platform. And when it got to the row of people in the healing line, he said all the people in the healing line had their eyes closed. You know, their hands are raised, but their eyes are closed. They didn't see me. But he said when the glory got to that row, he said, I just went like that. And he said, just like dominoes, they all fell over like that. And many of them, many healings. But he said when that meeting was over, he said a couple of weeks later, he got a letter from a lady that was in that meeting. She said, my husband didn't want to come to that meeting, she said, but I wanted to come. And I kept prevailing on him to come. And finally, he agreed to go. You know, he didn't much believe in it, but agreed to go. So he came to the meeting, and he said, the letter said, the wife said in the letter, he sat there the whole time you were preaching, and he said, he was saying it even out loud, people around him saying, shh, be quiet, be quiet. He would say out loud, I don't believe a word of it. Brother Hagin's preaching, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it. Then he's laying hands on the sick, and people were falling. This is before the glory rolled in. Laying hands on the sick, people falling. He goes, that ain't nothing but hypnotism. He's just hypnotizing them. He's saying it right out loud. So you wouldn't call him a believer. In fact, the lady said he wasn't saved.
Yeah. Wow.
But he had the doctors had given up on him. They couldn't do any more because he had a heart condition. But he's back there, sitting back there, or I guess standing or whatever during the healing. I don't believe a word of it. He's just hypnotizing. He's just saying all that. And he said, the lady's letter said, when that glory rolled in, he changed his tune. And he started saying, it's going all over me, it's going all over me, it's going all over me. And she said to her husband, standing in the auditorium, what's going all over you? And he said, that power he's talking about, that anointing he's talking about, it's going all over me. He went back to his doctor, and the doctor said he got a brand new heart.
Wow. Praise God.
And the lady said in the letter, she said, now he was a sinner man. He wasn't even saved.
Yeah.
And sitting back there mocking and sitting back there, you know what I'm talking about? She said, now he got saved after he got healed. What is that? The mercy. The mercy. Mercy.
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Whoa, we're going to see some stuff.
Amen.
People you wouldn't heal. In fact, you wouldn't even invite them to church. All that long hair and them tattoos and that stinking snuff. But they show up just because they got a hungry heart, and mercy will be extended to them. They've been mean like a snake, and treated people wrong and abused people. But then they got to the place that just, I need help. Mercy. Mercy. We're going to see some things. Tell your neighbor that's what this air is going to be full of. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God's mercy reached out to him. And in this case, got through to him. Amen. And you know, God's mercy is really reaching out to everybody, it says in Psalm 145. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like he was back there in Bible days. Amen. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda, healed, and then Jesus walked off. The man didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. So he's healed and took up his bed and walked. And they're saying, wait, no, all the Pharisees and everybody, wait, no, this is the Sabbath. They can't take up your bed and walk. And he said, well, the man that healed me said, take my bed up and walk. And they said, who's that? And he goes, I don't know. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Later, remember, Jesus found him, and Jesus said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you.
Yeah.
What? He's healed. He's got sin in his life. Yeah. Just like most everybody else that got healed.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, well, well, well. People make big deal about sin. We're going to see some things. I said we're going to see some things. I'm not saying we should minimize. I'm not saying we should just live carnally. Amen. Especially when we know better, you know. But praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. James says there's no variableness with God. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James 1:17. If he used to be merciful, if he healed that man that had sin in his life, sin no more, that's the worst thing come on you, then he's merciful today. We're going to see some things. This is the compassion and the mercy of God. I had a service up in Maine years ago. You heard me tell this story. A man that I didn't know. I think four churches came together, if I remember right, four churches came together in a community center, and I was up there, and we were preaching to all of them. It was one of the most memorable meetings in my whole traveling ministry. And anyway, we were, I don't remember what I was preaching on, really. I'm trying to remember right now. But anyway, I got to the end, and the power of God was on me. And so I started going out into the crowd and ministering to people. And many of them are falling over. And I'm back in one of these aisles, and I'm getting ready to minister to somebody, and I think I might have finished ministering to them, and I had a turn, and I had a draw toward a man sitting over on this side. And so I came over here, and I said, step out in the aisle. I said to him sitting down there, I said, do you believe in the power of God? He had a hood over his head. He was a young guy. He's unshaven, sitting there kind of looking mean at me. I said, do you believe in the power of God? And he goes, mm-hmm. You can tell he wasn't that thrilled to be there, you know. I said, step out in the aisle. Laid hands on him, and like you hit him with a hammer, bam, he hit the floor. He laid there for a while and then came to himself and was like, got up and looked at me like, what'd you do to me? And sat back down in his chair, and I went my way. Kept on ministering. The power of God was flowing. We had a lot of different things happen. Anyway, at the end of the service, I don't know if I found out then or sometime within a short period of time, I found out that he was sitting there during the service. His dad was sitting right beside him. And they were during the service, while I was preaching, I didn't hear them, but while I was preaching, they would look at each other going, they were laughing and making fun of me and mocking what I was saying. I didn't know that. But merciful one did. And whenever I called, I didn't know this until afterwards either. I had him stand up and get out in the aisle and laid hands on him. He went out under the power, and actually he went home that night and tore all his AC/DC, whatever it was, posters off his wall and decided, I'm not serving the devil, I'm serving Jesus. Actually, he went and he got saved. He got part of that church. Then he came to Rhema, and he helped us in the ministry in Rhema while we were traveling down there from Tulsa before we moved here. He helped us for a while. Now he's back up there helping his pastor. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. The rest of the story is, Paul Harvey said, that his dad's sitting beside him. When I laid hands on him, the power of God must have got on his dad and completely healed his dad in his knees sitting right there. What is that?
Mercy.
That's the mercy of God.
Amen.
You know, most of us would have gotten mad, say, out of that church, you know. I'm glad no usher heard him. Because in this case, God was wanting to reach him. And did reach him. That man and his wife, the son, of course, I already told you about him. But the couple, they became a vital part of the lead pastor. The pastor that invited us up there to that meeting, he was good. We're still good friends with him. But anyway, they became a part of that church. All three of them, mom, dad, and the son. But and they're a vital part of the church. Last I heard, they're still a vital part of the church. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God saw something in them and just reached out. He extended some mercy to him and knew that if he could get through to him, he could help him. And we're going to see that in this day. I said, we're going to see that in this day. 2 Chronicles 5:13. Go over there. We're going to have to wrap this up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's be merciful with people. What do you say? Oh, my, there's so much I wanted to get into tonight. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It says in verse number, this is that account where they were dedicating the temple. You remember it came to pass, and the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and instruments or cymbals of music, instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So the priest couldn't even stand up to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Notice what they were saying when this happened. For praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Something happens. You can see what happened. Something happens when you and I magnify God's goodness and his mercies. Talk about them all the time. Hallelujah. Something happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll find it as you magnify God's mercy, talking about it and praising him for it, that it will manifest. Hallelujah. Whatever area you need it in, it'll manifest. It'll manifest in mercy for forgiveness, manifest in mercy and healing. How many of you ever been in a spot where you got yourself into that you couldn't get yourself out of? And there's only one way out. Mercy.
Yes. Yep.
I've been there.
Yes, sir.
I've been there a number of times.
Yes.
I could tell you stories. I don't because I'd rather not tell you all my stuff. How about I email myself to prove it? You know, I'm just... to prove I know what I'm talking about. But here's the point. There's places you can get in that you need mercy to get out of. I've told you about an $80,000 need I came up against one time, and I had to have it. I got in the car, drove down the road, coming to the office. I started pleading my case. I said, God, I need some mercy here. I don't want to plead my case. I started pleading my case. He started helping me plead my case. And within 15 minutes, got a call. Bing. Done.
Praise God.
Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Mercy, mercy, mercy. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You can't come in contact with God's mercy without it affecting your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let's wrap this up by saying, remember we said he has compassion on the ignorant. Remember that? With the knowledge of what we've been talking about, one thing that he has mercy on is when people just don't get it. Now, and we're thankful for that, all of us. Tell your neighbor, you too. I'm thankful for that for you. I'm thankful for that for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, with the knowledge of that, what we read there in 1 Corinthians 5:5, or let me say something about, actually go over to James 2. We're wrapping this up. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we're wrapping this up. It won't take much longer here. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. You're going to James chapter number 2. But let me say something about what we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And it says, you know, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so his spirit might be saved. So his spirit might be saved. Amen. Notice here that he was being put in the hands of Satan. God would not destroy his flesh. He's not a destroyer. You and I don't want to be in the enemy's hands. He has no mercy. Amen. You really want to be in God's hands because he's very merciful. And the Bible talks about, have you turned to James 2? Have you found it? James 2:13 is an interesting, you need to get a hold of this verse. There's so much revelation in this verse. We'll have to come back to it probably. But James 2, verse number 13 says, he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. There's a huge amount of revelation there. There is such a thing as judgment with mercy. That's what 1 Corinthians 5:5 is. It's judgment, but Satan was not allowed to take him to hell. Isn't that right? You don't maybe haven't thought much about it, but that's the mercy of God. You know, there's going to be folk in heaven that we're going to go, oh, ooh. They're here. They might look at you and go, oh. And bow down and worship him for a year, you know. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Have a 1 year Thanksgiving service, you know. Earth year. But there's going to be people there that made it, and you're going to be like, oh. I heard a story just the other day. In fact, I saw it in the Word of Faith, I think, just the other day. A man came upon an accident. He was coming home from something, and it came upon an accident, and there was a man laying. He had to slow down because traffic was weaving around something on the street. And he had to slow down. He's the first one that got there. There was a man laying on the road that had been hit by a semi. Come to find out later, he had, I guess because of a note he left at home or something, I don't remember all the story, but he had done that on purpose. He had committed suicide. You know, and actually this man coming on the scene was the first one there. He's a believer. He's a Rhema grad, actually. He's a believer. And he got down there beside the man, and he said his body was so mangled. It was just a mess. It's just better to go on, you know. But he's gurgling. He's breathing a little bit. And he talked to the man. He said, can you hear me? And he sort of nodded. He said, you need Jesus before you go to heaven. He nodded. He said, yeah. He said, pray this after me. Jesus, be merciful to me. Come into my heart. And he prayed it, and the man died. We're going to see that man in heaven. You say, wait a minute, he committed suicide. No, he repented. He's probably under such stress of something, I don't know. Yeah, I need Jesus. Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. What if you go there and you find Elvis Presley? What if you go there and you find people you didn't expect? I'm not saying he's there. I don't know. But there are reports that he might be. That he confessed Jesus. You say, he was such a rascal. But God's merciful.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know. I'm not his judge. But you know my point. You got my point. Everybody say, I got the point. There is, did you see it? James 2:14. There is judgment without mercy. Isn't that right? He shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Well, what if we do show mercy? There can be judgment with mercy. Write these verses down. I got to close. 2 Samuel 7, 14. I believe it's through 15. I wrote down something wrong here. I think it's 14 through 15. 2 Samuel 7, 14 and 15. It talks about, I believe that's where it talks about Solomon. That I'll deal with him different than I did Saul. He said, I took my mercy from Saul. But if Solomon sins, there'll be judgment with mercy. Well, what happened with Saul? Saul lost everything. He lost his life. He lost the kingdom. He lost everything. You know, there are situations. Let me say it this way. God's always endeavoring to bless as much as he can. He's always endeavoring to bless us. He's a good God. He wants to bless. He's looking for ways to bless. And he'll keep extending mercy, and he'll keep dealing with people, and he'll keep bringing it around and keep being merciful. And he'll go way beyond all of our mercy. We're done, out, quit, over, turn them over to Satan for the destruction. God said, I still got 5 more years. I'm going to deal with them.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah.
Amen. Bible talks about space to repent. Somebody said, how long is that? I'd like to cut it off right now. No. It's between them and God. It's not between them and us. It's between them and God. You can sense that mercy is lifting on people sometimes. I can sense sometimes. Sometimes we've worked with people for years and years and years and had great unction to talk with them, help them, encourage them. I mean, pray with them. Pray them out of death. Pray them out of... I could tell you stories, which I can't. I wish I could. I can't. I don't want to divulge things. But it's amazing how God goes on for years and years and years, and you think, God. And he's still being merciful.
Amen.
And then sometimes the unction lifts, and you can't get utterance to say anything to them and so forth and so on. And you know, he's extended it as far as he's going. And sometimes they go out and die young, but it's to keep them from going to hell. He's still being merciful. Still being merciful. God's merciful. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. He's always endeavoring to bless people as far as he can because he's merciful. He's always salvaging what he can out of every situation. The car may be wrecked. It's totaled. Let's see if we can get a bumper out of this. Let's just see if we can save the speedometer. You know what I'm talking about? He's always doing salvage jobs. Maybe they die prematurely, but on their deathbed, they get everything right with everybody in the family. Mercy. Mercy. They won't have to stand before the Lord and give an account for that. Amen. Work with him in prayer to get what you can out of situations others get themselves into. Amen. God wants to bless. Ezekiel 22 talks about, I look for a man that judgment not fall. I look for somebody to pray. Ezekiel 22 talks about, but I found no man. So judgment had to fall. You might say, why is that person still standing? Maybe somebody's standing in the gap for him. And God's saying, okay, because you asked me. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes God says they know too much. I can't keep blessing them in their disobedience. I've come to the end of how far I can go with them. But you've gotten what you can. Amen. Maybe you can get a good testimony out of it on their deathbed. Something. Amen. Let's see how much we can get for people, not see how quick we can turn them over to destruction. Amen. Sow it. You're going to need it. I need it. Praise the Lord. I need it. I need it. You need it. Amen. We all need it. But the way we're going to get it is sow it. And be merciful. Be merciful with other people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight? This is just, I think we could go 5 or 6 services. We'll see how far the Lord gives us unction on it. But the Lord is good. Tell you, let's all stand to our feet and say that. The Lord is good. And His mercies endure forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, if somebody died prematurely, His mercies don't endure forever. Well, He keeping them out of hell. That's His mercies.
Amen.
There's still some mercy there.
Amen.
They endure forever. They endure forever. Amen. Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so merciful. Thank you for being so gracious. We make much of your mercy. We make a big deal out of your mercy. Father, we are so grateful for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercies over ignorance. Your mercies over us as we continue to come further into the light. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you're long-suffering. Thank you, Father, that you're willing to endure long with us. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. It's because of that we're not consumed, your word says. We're grateful for that, Father. Father, we don't want to just make it on mercy. We want to be correcting things. And so, Father, when you see that constant desire to do right and come up to the light, you continue to extend it to us. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful. Thank you, Father God, for each person that's facing an impossible situation. We call for mercy over them. We call for mercy in that situation. Hallelujah. You're great. You're tender with it, Father. You're very compassionate. Oh, thank you, Father. We sincerely ask you, be merciful. Be merciful. Hallelujah. We just declare this evening, you'll get every one of us out of anything we're in right now. Hallelujah. Maybe even because of our mistakes. Maybe because of our wrongdoing. You're standing by extending mercy to us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 You know, with yourself, you can always get a hold of yourself and make corrections. With other people, you can't force them to, or you can't decide for them or do the right thing for them. Amen. You know, if they got a will, they have to make those choices themselves. But always be interested in salvaging whatever you can. Some people aren't going to get God's best. I didn't say they couldn't. You know what I mean? But they won't. Well, if that's where they are, do a salvage job. Get what you can. Get what you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember Brother Hagin said that his own father-in-law, I believe it was, there were some things that there were some things his life was cut off short. But he said, because the Lord said he's going to die. Brother Hagin said, all right, that's fine. But before he's in a coma, before he dies, let him come out of that and give a good testimony, because his daughter, my wife, is bothered about whether he's going to heaven or not. Just like that, he snapped out of it. Brother Hagin standing by the bed, he snapped out of it and said, Kenneth, I'm dying. Brother Hagin said, I know it. He said, you're going to get those grandkids up here before I die, aren't you? Yeah. He said, I'll get them up here right now. Got the whole family up. He's wide awake. I mean, fully alert. Brother Hagin said he was happy like tomorrow he's going on vacation or something. Fully alert. They got all the grandkids up there and Miss Aretha up there and the whole family up there. And he gave a good testimony about he's right with God. He's saved one. He's ready to go on. And so now that's different. Isn't that the mercy of God? So Miss Aretha didn't have to go through life. I wonder if he made heaven. Hallelujah. 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 I got some things. I'm pleading some people's case right now. Not in this church, but just I'm pleading some things. Hallelujah. We're going to get a salvage job out of this thing.